views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone. It's Handle Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is March the 11th. 2019. It is a Monday. We have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to sound off. We'd love to hear from you today, so give us a call at any time. So, okay, so significant stuff happening in the world, so we're going to jump into that. But before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. The best way that you can do that is by becoming a member inside of the social media platform known as BTR Community for only $24 a year. And with that, you can engage in the social media activities without being as adversely affected. And you can do that by going to www.btrcommunity.com. Become a member. Post things about yourself, things that you think need to have more public awareness, just your regular social media activities. You can promote your business, promote yourself, within reason, of course. Make sure you do that. That supports the network, keeps it on air. Very, very, very important in today's world. Also, everyone, please go to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com. Check out what's in inventory there for silver and gold. Exchange your cash for silver and gold. Exchange debt for money is the proper way to do things, is the proper way of saving. Then check out what's in inventory there. But before you purchase online, make sure you email info@prosperitymint.com. Tell them Dave sent you from Tando Radio Show. Very, very important that you do that. Because there's some information that needs to be given to you about the proper way to acquire the precious metals. It won't be used for a sales call or anything such as that. Make sure you leave a number in your email so someone can call and text you, so that there can be a time where they can tell you about the proper way of acquiring the precious metals, so that you know the full buying process. It's to your benefit that you do that. Okay? Very, very, very important. All right. So we're going to get into today's show. Today's show is part two, When the Lights Go Out, from our Friday show, Without Remorse. Going Dark, part two, Without Remorse. That is today's show. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. Pastor Keith is in the building. We're going to jump into today's show and love to hear from you. All right, so we're going to jump in real quickly. I want to just before we do that, everyone, please make sure that you are preparing yourself for some unannounced or events that are not being put before you as a measure of warning on the mainstream media. Now, some of the governmental agencies in the corporation of the United, the territories of the corporation of the United States, they have been telling everyone you should have 6 months worth of preparedness, and they've been telling everyone be prepared, so that when things go awry, they can say, "Well, we told you." And those situations are definitely, definitely happening. Pastor Keith is in studio now. So, Keith, I was just saying before we got it, before we get into the news, how, you know, Department of Homeland Security and some other agencies have been warning for a couple of years now for everyone to start to be prepared, to have 6 months worth of provisions. And to be, and first they say prepare for earthquakes, and but then they just started having signs that they were posting throughout the country, and it just, it was a black sign and white writing said, "Be prepared, Department of Homeland Security." So they do that because they know what's coming down the pipe, and they can say, "Well, we warned you. We had a campaign of warning people. We were telling people this is what you need to do now once the crisis starts in a very dramatic way." And I think that the collapse that we're seeing and what's going on in the global collapse is not just one event. It's a series of events that happen for this to really get to where we go, uh-oh, my whole life has just changed. And so that life-changing moment is actually step-by-step coming to full fruition. It's not going to be one big Hollywood style. You go into the movies, and within 2 hours, it starts. No, it's actually been starting for a while, and it continues to unfold. And that one, that slow walk, when the system slowly walks you down, it's more detrimental than if they were just to come out and do things dramatically. And then that would change people's psyche to how they have to be prepared. And one place of that, and I'll give an example of that, you know, Floridians. Floridians, when it comes to preparing and knowing that they need to be prepared because of the hurricane season, as soon as they hear a hurricane is coming, they already know. You know, and they know in hurricane season because they've been in it before, you know, and they know. So what happens is that the system doesn't really want the masses of people to be hit all at one time with something dramatic, because then what? They'll know. Well, people will know. And when they know, they'll do things to protect themselves. And in that overall protection of everyone, everyone will start to run to certain things, and there will be a panic. And that's what a panic is, a very, very effective tool. So you want to kind of, you want to control the stampede, or have, you know, Keith, as being a controlled crash landing. You know what I mean? Which really is no such thing, you know, but a controlled crash landing. And that's what really is happening. So we're going to get into today's show. Keith, did you have anything before we get started?
Did you get into the cyber thing at all yet? Or?
No, we're just starting what's in the news. So I was going to wait for you. And so that's what we're about to jump into now. Here we go. Keith said, "Nope, I ain't got nothing yet." So we're going to jump in. We got a busy day today, folks. So, all right, here we go. Going Dark Part 2, Without Remorse. First article we got from RT International. Venezuela's aid truck torched by protesters. Mainstream media finally admits, but of course, Maduro still to blame. Check out that article. And I want to just say this about Venezuela. Venezuela's, and I've always said it, that it is a looking glass to the overall demise and what everyone in the U.S. is going to have to face. And the Venezuela has been engulfed in 5 days of power outages. And this, I don't even know what the actual death toll of that has been so far. It's going to be substantial. It's going to be significant. They're not telling, and those overall reports aren't out yet, but believe me, I think it's going to be significant. Next article from Sputnik News. Maduro says one Venezuelan energy facility suffered a cyber attack on Saturday. And we're going to cover this for going on. Let me just say this. All, you know, the gloves have now come off. They will. There's actually been calls for a response to start to hit the U.S. grid. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from, I wanted Keith to really hear this one, so I'm going to come back to that one. Next article from Press TV. Venezuela braced for a rally protest amidst U.S. electric war. Tens of thousands of Venezuelans are expected to take to the streets on Saturday as the nation continues to struggle with major power outages. The President Nicolas Maduro saying that is an electrical energy war waged by the United States. Check out that. We'll take a look at that today as well. Next article from Press TV. Germany refuses to outlaw Hezbollah to U.S. Saudi is dismayed. Germany has refused to follow Britain's lead in designating the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, despite pressures from Saudi Arabia and the United States. A senior official said the decision was announced on Friday by the minister in an interview with a magazine in Germany. Remember what I said about Germany. Germany is playing this stuff close to the vest, and how they're playing this is they're playing this that they're really showing what side that they're on. They're no longer an ally of the U.S. They may be in NATO, but they've already signed agreements and are in agreement for something else. And this is why they wanted their ambassador kicked out of Venezuela, because they don't, and it was a smart, smart move. See, check out this article real quick. Very important one from Press TV, which is an Iranian publication. Press TV, Germany refuses to outlaw Hezbollah to the U.S. Saudi is dismayed. Germany has refused to follow Britain's lead in designating the Lebanese resistant movement Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, despite pressure from Saudi Arabia and the United States. A senior official said the decision was announced on Friday by the making a huge, huge push to show who they're really in alliance with. And they're really in alliance with China, Russia, Iran, and Syria.
You know,
and they're going to join BRICS. This is huge.
That's huge. Also, what I found, and I think that we all naturally look to the new rulers is going to be China. But, you know, I was reading a compelling article. It's pretty interesting that how in a lot of ways the world is looking at Germany as a world leader.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's why Germany is being very, very strategic in its course for moves. And what was one of Germany's first things that they did to make sure that they would be a relevant nation going into the new economy? Repatriated their gold. And this is, and I think at the appropriate time, this they're going to join BRICS. And recently,
BRICS is going to join them.
No. They're going to join BRICS. They're going to join the BRIC nations.
Yeah, the BRIC nations.
Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and the other 125 nations that's there. Turkey is going to join. France is going to join. It's Taiwan will join. Japan will join. And this is going to. And last week, you remember when I was saying when Guaido went back to Venezuela on Monday, 1 week ago, that the German ambassador was there to make sure that he didn't get arrested. And then Venezuela kicked their ambassador out of the nation. And I said, oh, wait a minute. That's a smart move by Germany. You're starting to see the moves. You're starting to see the moves. And that was a very, very calculated, great move by Germany. Why? Because it gets them out of the hot seat until they want to enter at their own terms. Because they know Venezuela is going to blow up, and it's going to blow up big.
Which is essentially what the United States did with World War II.
Yeah. You're right, Keith. Exactly. You're exactly right. So this article is very significant. We should definitely try to take a look at it. Next article from Sputnik News. Trump to host Brazilian president on March the 19th for talks on Venezuela. And I'm gonna just say this: there's a move to grab capture Brazil, but it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. And the celebrity figurehead that they're down there, that's supposed to be, they say he's a Trumpite. He won't be there long.
No, you know what I'm struggling with, Dave.
So they're part of BRICS.
Yeah. What I'm struggling with is, again, back to the United States itself. And they seem to be completely occupied with running down the path of their own destruction. I mean, the decisions that they make and are making in light of what's going on, it seems like they're making the decisions to be a catalyst in it. It's almost like they are sabotaging themselves towards their own destruction in the midst. For instance, mm-hmm. like what you said, looking at the situation, the decisions that Germany's making to strategize themselves to be in the best position at the best time, you know, for whatever move that they're going to make when they make it.
Right.
It seems like the United States is doing the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
It seems like everything that we're doing is putting...
Who's we?
The United States okay. is doing. It's positioning ourselves to bring about that destruction even faster. That's what it makes no sense.
That's the plan. That's the plan. Because, you know, milk spoils. Milk spoils. Meaning that milk has a shelf life. And having nations, every empire falls. And it has to be a cyclical move for that empire to fall so that the system is never, ever put in a position of challenge.
Okay, so even if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not
yes.
arguing that
yes,
we're not doing it,
yes.
none of these nations, even though the system puts those things in place to happen, they're going to happen inevitably,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, in all those other cases, none of those nations went about jeopardizing themselves for those things to hurry up and happen. And they've never put themselves in the United States is the one.
Yeah. And you know, I like to always look at it this way too, Keith. If you really look at it, when countries go to war, major wars, the country may lose the war, but it's still in existence.
Sure,
but exactly. but the everyday person that the poor that fought the war and was actually killed in that war, they're done. They're actually killed in that overall act. I don't know how many times countries have been to war, lost the war, but the country is not killed.
Well, in
the people are, because that's the real design for war, is to kill people. It's to kill people. It's not to kill corporate empires. It's to kill people to control them even more, because that's the only one who dies.
So this is back to the subject of depopulation.
Yep. Without a doubt. How do you have the most depopulation? How do you depopulate the planet and have a human control, which they consider pest control? How do you have the best, most effective pest control? Well, you take the largest nuclear countries and the country with the most military budget and spending and everything else, and you disseminate that all over the world and create a war. And that overall, those antennas and those tentacles, like an octopus, the tentacles of the octopus of the war, the industrial war complex of the United States, it spreads death and destruction, economic despair, and famine and disease through war all over the planet.
A redistribution.
And it does what? It really is the most effective way to depopulate the planet.
Well, and it's kind of funny you should bring up that particular subject. And the reason being is because I was reading about an article today, which is on a different subject but the same. What they were talking about was, have you noticed this huge push for all these different vaccinations?
Sure.
You know, and sure. They're starting to talk about, oh, we got a major outbreak of measles, We got a major outbreak in some kind of disease that takes control of the bones and stuff. And there's a huge, huge outbreak or push for mandatory vaccinations.
Yeah.
If that's not a system of depopulation. And what makes it worse is the main one that we know so much, of course, is the flu.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that the flu vaccination is nothing but a shot in the dark and guess that, okay, hopefully it's this strain.
Yeah.
Now, they miss the mark more often than they hit. But yet...
I think they always hit the mark, Chief.
They do.
They always hit the mark.
But that's not the mark we're supposed to be looking at.
Right.
You're exactly right.
Right, that's not the mark that we're propagandized to think it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Because we don't know what's in those ingredients.
Exactly. So with that being said, how are they going to take... And we know the answer to this, but for the people that haven't thought about this, how are you going to take a vaccination that misses the mark more often than it hits it, and it's a small minority of the people that it affects,
yeah.
but yet they're going to mandatory it for everybody that has to have it?
Yeah. It's crazy, Keith, and it's a part of this whole shelf of things. So, yeah, we got to get this. And I will save this article for you, Keith. I saved this one for you, and this is from the New York Post, okay? Ilhan Omar, quote, "Obama's a pretty face who got away with murder." Minnesota Representative Omar ripped former celebrity figurehead President Barack Obama in an interview published on Friday, last Friday, belittling his pretty face and saying his agenda of hope and change was an illusion. Gone, tell the truth. Even though this is all a part of the setup, but this is what I've always contended as well. And, you know, what she said was right. But it's all, the thing about this is all a part of the drama. All the world is a stage. Remember that from Macbeth. Oh, Hamlet, sorry. All the world's a stage. And this is what we're starting to see. So check out that article.
Hold on.
I figured you would say hold on. That's why I try to rush it off. Go ahead.
Now, here's the thing with that.
Campaign manager for Texas, the campaign manager for Barack Obama of Texas. Go ahead.
And here's my issue with all of that. That girl is a new congressman. She's got a lot to learn. With that being said,
I agree with you.
She burned a lot of bridges on her last statement. However, I don't think that nothing she said up until this time is untrue.
Yes. That's the hope. And I'm going to say this. I don't trust them one way or another. I don't trust her. I don't trust him. I don't trust them. And I say that for a very defined reason. Because I'm not caught up in the appearance. Because there's nothing that I want from this system. So there isn't anything that I'm willing not to, when it's wrong, it's wrong. And if you look at the overall truth of things, they may say something, one thing, but what actually happens is something totally opposite. And until the general population comes to grips with that and what that really, really means from a measure of maturity, because they will all, the key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. You will continue to believe that your overall quality of life and standard of living comes from a government. And in actuality, it was given to you as a birthright. The difference is they make you pay for it. But it was given to you by the great creator without a charge.
I don't think at this point in time we have the luxury of taking Russia's point of view and saying there's nothing we want out of the system. I don't think we can say that.
And I understand why you said, right, because there's so much that was vested.
Well, not because so much we invested, but like we're not, we're immersed in it. We have to have demands, because if this is going the way that it's going, it's going to be so catastrophic for everybody involved in it.
Right.
You know, that we have to want something out of the system. We're not isolated enough to take that stand.
Right, and Chief, you say we're not isolated enough. We're not self-sufficient enough.
Well, the thing is, I think it goes a step farther than that, because my thing is, whether we're
self-sufficient enough
to take that stance or not, we can't take that stance because we're still in the midst of the mob around us. So even if we had all those things to take place, we're going to still be affected with the constant assaults by everybody around us.
And yeah, I got you, and I see where you're going, and I would just add this. Well, then we have to accept the poison that they're going to require us to push for getting something. Because believe me, they're not going to, this is organized crime. You don't get to leave the mob.
Exactly.
You don't get to leave organized crime. You know, and most people think that organized crime is from, you know, families and things and those small institutions and everything else. No, organized crime is nothing more than sanctioned crime by law.
I agree.
And so that's what organized crime is. So one thing is that once you join a gang, once you in the mob and you take something from them and you actually develop yourself and have a measure of autonomy to it, you don't ever get to leave.
You don't ever get to leave.
You don't ever get to leave.
But there's another level that we have to be concerned about.
Yep.
And what that level is more of the level that I was talking about. So let's go to Hell's Kitchen, which is an area that's very much controlled by, you know, and I'll even go back to what was old boy's name? I can't even think of his name. But the point is, so the mob controls that area.
A famous gangster?
No, he's actually a superhero. But moving on.
Thank you, because it's important.
But moving on, so let's say that we're not involved with the mafia. But we have a store, a retail store, a restaurant, or whatever, right? We're doing well. We're self-sufficient. We pay our taxes. We follow all our obligations. But guess what? When they come in and they demand that protection money, we're affected by that. Because when we don't pay it, guess whose lanes is our free broke? Now, we never joined them. We're not a part of them. But our lanes will be broken. Our stores will be burnt down. You know? And that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Yo, I know what you're getting to. And I think that, and what happens is that you get born into this. And once you're born into this, you have to die in it and then remake yourself, establish anew. Because if you're in their system, which everyone is born into and indoctrinated into by our parents and everything else because of the convenience is the only thing we see. If you only go down one road, you will only go where that road leads. And the only way that you cannot be on that path of destruction is you can't walk their freeway to disaster. You're going to have to get off and get on the unbeaten path that is very, very difficult but offers you all of the things that you need. But it's not going to be easy. So we can't be on their highways and their freeways to destruction because they paved that path for us to be on that in masses and to get to where they want us to go quickly. They have the what's the diamond lane? Everything is a diamond lane.
Oh, ATM.
Yeah, Everything is a diamond lane. Put your whole family in the car when you ride in here. Carpool to death. That's really, and until we are mature enough to see that being an agreement, an engagement that is not healthy for us, but the harder path is the path of less resistance and is the most difficult and the most prosperous for us. Until we get off of that path of that road that's been paved to our destruction, we're going to continue to hit the wall.
Well, you're exactly right, and I agree 100%. The problem with that is reality. And what I mean by that, and you're exactly right, because you're falling into the same old cliches, you know what, there is no revolution without bloodshed, there's no revolution without sacrifice and all that. And the thing is, it's kind of like, let's say like you have a platoon,
mm-hmm,
of a heavily weaponed platoon, right? And you got 600 people that are upset, right? Now, those 600 can take that platoon even with all their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for that to happen, for first 10 that's going to go out there, they're going to get mowed down.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So you got 10 that goes out there, they get mowed down. Guess what happens to the other 590?
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
Right, right. It's a measure of, and that's where that maturity level comes in, is that we're looking at, well, I'm going to have to be the one that's, because somebody's going to have to make the sacrifice so everybody else can see, okay, this is worth it. But in, the real thing is that you can't look at somebody has to make the sacrifice. You really have to look at it from a measure of that everybody has to. And if we all, if everyone did it, it couldn't survive. But everyone has their own free will. So we'll get into that. But we got to keep going. Next article. Check this out, Keith. Washington from Sputnik News. Washington has never forgiven Chavez for nationalizing the oil fields of Venezuela. Venezuela was marked when Chavez was there. They were waiting their time, and they're going to do it. Now this war is happening, and now's the time to take Venezuela's oil for the war. Next article from Strategic Culture. Syria accuses the U.S. of stealing 40 tons of its gold. Check.
Syria accuses who?
The United States of stealing 40 tons of its gold. And that was done via, and there's been articles about it. We'll cover it a little bit later. So check out that. Next article from express.co.uk. Trump to help Ukraine expand to the Black Sea after Russia warns of threats. Supreme Alliance Commander of Europe's NATO, Allied Command Operation General Curtis, whatever his name is, told the U.S. Senate Arms Committee of plans that Donald Trump was keen to provide Ukraine a helping hand to defend its sovereignty. Boy, that's World War III jumping off for real. Ain't going to happen. This is where things is going. This is how the U.S. will get put in the dark. This is where Russia will preemptively strike the United States. So check out that. Next article from AP News. All propaganda news. That's what I named them. All propaganda news. China bars millions from travel for social credit offenses. Skip a payment. Excuse me. Skip paying a fine in China. Then forget about buying an airline ticket. Would-be air travelers will be blocked from buying tickets 17.5 million times last year for social credit offenses, including unpaid taxes and fines under control of controversial system that the ruling Communist Party say will improve public behavior.
All right, so with that being said, I read an article.
They're doing that here in the States, too.
Exactly. I heard that the IRS is now blocking passports for people with unpaid taxes.
and child support and this and that and everything else. See, this is why this system, you can never do a deal with the devil, because you always going to lose your soul. You can't negotiate. There is no negotiation with you. You cannot negotiate. You can't negotiate with a terrorist. What do you think that they're going to do? They're going to say, fine.
What terrorists are you referring to with the United States doing this?
Who are we talking about? The organization of subjugation and enslavement. It's a system.
This ain't going to be a discussion, but I heard somebody say just a statement today that I thought was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what this person said, he said this. He said, you know, today it's easier to be in America and Mexico than it is to be in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, Keith.
It's easier to be an American in Mexico than it is to be one in the United States.
And what he was basically saying, it's easier to be a U.S. citizen in Mexico than it is in the United States.
Yeah.
Because Mexico is in America.
No, because they were saying that it's getting to the point where you got more freedom. You know, this is a land of the free, the home of the brave.
That right's good.
The right's good. But that's exactly what he's saying. It is easier to be an America in Mexico than it is to be one in
a U.S. citizen in Mexico than it is to be a U.S. citizen in the United States.
Yeah,
very true. I would agree. I would definitely agree on that. So, yeah, just things we need to know.
Well, say that one more time, because people are going to need to marinate on this.
What's that?
That statement.
What statement was that, Keith?
It's easy to be an American in Mexico.
Yeah. It's easy to be a U.S. citizen in Mexico. But
why does it say
that?
But why? But why? I know a lot of U.S. retirees, particularly white people, when they retire, they're going further south than Florida. They're going to Mexico because of the cost of living is a lot cheaper.
Yes.
As long as the U.S. dollar is stronger than the peso, then I imagine it is easier, you know, to live and meet all your basic needs and some of your wants. But if you don't speak Spanish, I wouldn't say it's easy, you know, because I was stationed at Fort Huachuca. We used to go down to Mexico during the weekends, go to Nogales and party over the weekends, man. Everybody don't speak English, you know. So I say it depends, you know. If you got the currency and if you speak Spanish, it probably would be easier because of, you know, the economic situation. But then you could also become a target, too. People think you got some money, you might get kidnapped, held for ransom. Who knows?
You know, all those things are true. But I think that they weren't even referring to that. I think they were referring more to the erosion of civil and personal rights
than
the economics.
But see, the economics play a big part of that. Because what is, and it's both... What's happening here is they both have, they're intertwined.
Absolutely.
Because the U.S. dollar, as Scotty said, as long as the U.S. dollar is stronger than the peso, but at some point the U.S. dollar won't be stronger than the peso.
Right.
Then you're going to have problems. Then you got to have, right, you have better have a strategical plan for that. And there's a lot of variables.
There's a lot of variables.
But with that person
saying too,
yeah.
Because those people are going down there, and most of them are living off of pensions and retirement.
Yeah.
Well, what happens to them if they no longer
have a pension
income?
Right, have a pension.
Yeah.
And things get you know, get real bad. That's why there needs to have a proper strategical plan.
Absolutely.
And I know firsthand. And so it's very, very significant, and it's very, very true. But that person was saying, from this standpoint, is that when you're in Mexico, you don't get harassed like you do in the United States.
Right.
And I know that firsthand.
Right. And that's what he was saying. So I agree with everything Scotty was saying.
Yeah.
I don't think they were looking from it from the economic
point. No, but Scotty was just making that point. Yo, you better have a real plan on this thing for right now, is because there's a reason why that is.
Sure.
And that the whole situation could change quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah, if your economics is shut off, you know, it's no different than what's going on here too. Because actually, if you just go back to this recent shutdown, well, those people were hurting in a major way in 2 weeks. You know, because most people get paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So a month after they missed their first paycheck to the next one, it was dire.
Yeah, you know that was this purposely done. Those are dry runs. Those are purposely done. That was a debt payment blackout. That was a debt payment blackout.
Just to save the money, you're saying?
No. They're not. They have money. What they were doing is that they're using the currency to steal and get money. So now what you do, it really was a measure of starting to show the overall progressive state of the so-called empire of the United States collapsing. See, what they do is they write history. And then when you write history, you write it chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. And then you have a full book on what happened. So what you really do is you have a manual and instructive guide to follow and to teach and indoctrinate the people to what you want them to do and how you want them to respond. This is why U.S. history is so fraudulently slanted. This is why global world history is a lie. Churchill said it best. History will be kind to England because England will write it. History will be kind to England because England will write it. This is why writing, man can only write. Man has to put it in the letter of the law. Man can't create the spirit of the law. Can only be an interaction with it. Either a positive interaction or an interaction to where you in opposition to it. So, yeah, it's huge. It's real huge. Next article, Keith, this is a big one. This is a huge, huge, huge one. U.S. wants India to stop oil trades with Venezuela. Special Envoy Abrams said. Previously, Bloomberg suggested that Congress shipped 620,000 barrels a day to India for the first half of February, which is 66% more than the average daily shipment a month earlier. The U.S. Special Envoy for Venezuela, Elliot Abrams, confirmed that Washington is pressuring India to stop buying Venezuelan oil. How do you think that Washington is pressuring India to stop buying Venezuelan oil?
Sanctions
and
threatening to withhold any kind of aid they giving them, because I'm sure they getting some U.S. aid.
Yep, and taking that back. But the one that they're doing with the most is they're threatening India with terrorism. You think that overall car bombing a couple of weeks ago on Friday was not a message as to what can come in destabilizing India? They're basically saying, India, we could totally destabilize you because we'll put you in the war. There's no coincidence. Remember, India told the U.S. go pound sand. You can't tell us that we can't buy the S-400 system from Russia. Go pound sand. You can't tell us we can't buy oil from Iran. Go pound sand. You can't tell us we can buy oil from Venezuela. Who is India doing business with? All of the enemies of the United States, because who is India? They're an enemy of the U.S.
You know, Dave, it's awful funny to me how you know, we got certain people in this country who like to talk about the virtues of capitalism and what have you. And I know they'll say, well, this isn't real capitalism, but I mean, what kind of system is it? What kind of system is it where you try to force people, you know, where, what to buy, what they can buy? You know, you're taking away their self-determination. I thought it's supposed to be a free market. I thought, you know, mm-hmm. the way that you get customers is by producing the best product. But that doesn't seem to be mm-hmm. the case when it comes to the United States dealing with other countries.
My man, Scotty, so true. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back. Very, very important. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. We got our host, Pastor Keith in the building as well. Keith is going to take over the rest of the show for the day. He just looked at me like I'm crazy. So, but if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You know, just before we went to the commercial break, Scotty said, wait a minute, this ain't capitalism. Capitalism is supposed to be this and that. Yep, that's so true, and because that's not the way it is. Margaret Thatcher, the former prime minister, celebrity figurehead prime minister of Britain, said this about socialism. She said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And see, and they highlight that as there being their capitalistic mantra. But see, capitalism is great until the slaves can't take anymore. Because that's how capitalism works.
I don't think so.
We about to fight up in here. So. Hold me back. I'm about to hit Keith over the head with this chair. Now, go ahead, Keith.
All right, so what happens is...
I mean, you ain't saying nothing. No.
What happens is capitalism and or versus socialism
mm-hmm.
is immediately everybody rolls to the exact extreme. And no on either one. So what happens is you have a capitalistic society. You allow people to go out there and fulfill their self-actualization.
I agree with you,
and by the same token, you fairly tax the people, because what socialism really is how are you going to spend the tax money?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So
No, that's what they told you. That's not how they practice.
That's not how they practice. Yeah. Right. So with that being said, I have no qualms against capitalism and no qualms against socialism with the balance between the two. Because what happens is, in my opinion, you don't hear me say that very mm-hmm. much, mm-hmm. but in my opinion, I'm making whatever I'm making.
Smart, but
I am willing to pay a certain amount of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
With those taxes, I would like to see that tax money go to help the infirm, the mm-hmm. less ability, the sick, mm-hmm.
yeah.
all those sort of things, and help me out with society. Because there was truth to what Barack Obama said, is they didn't do that by themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So with the roads and the infrastructure and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism is like what Scotty said it's supposed to be. Those that build a better mousetrap, the people will come. But what we have is a system where you build a better mousetrap. I already have the money. I'm shutting you down.
Yeah.
So we don't have either socialism or capitalism. We got a monster capitalistic, some call it crony capitalism.
Whatever. I call it fascism.
You call it what?
It's fascism.
And it is.
It's fascism.
It is. But that's because we're dealing with a term instead of reality. Yes. We're dealing with the practices of corrupt men instead of the systems of what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm not against capitalism, socialism, not against either one of them. But what I am against is I'm against when the devil speaks.
Absolutely. And we're saying the same
about,
thing.
About, right.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm against when evil speaks. when evil speaks, to lie, to bring fraud, to rob, to steal, to have criminal conspiracy agendas against the masses of people. And they're not going to tell you that I'm lying to you. They're not going to tell you that I'm fraudulently stealing from you by force and by fear. They're not telling you that I have a, they're not going to tell you that they have a criminal conspiracy agenda that wages itself against you. They're not going to tell you that. But if you can't see that, that you're dealing with the devil and you expect the devil to come away with something other, with some benevolency to you, who's crazy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's fascism.
Sure it is. But that's both systems going rogue.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I agree with you, because it's, we have to get away from allowing the establishment to have established recourse. And not to have the establishment to have to be established. Because when it is established, it's going to lie, cheat, and steal and kill to maintain its overall insatiable appetite. And it's going to be based off your destruction. It ain't no getting around that. It ain't going to get no getting around it. You may think that you okay, and I think you said it best. Other people's problems don't become your problem until it hurts you. But you don't even realize that those problems are a cancer. It's a lying in wait.
Sure.
It's a lying in wait cancer.
And I don't think that the people don't realize that they're problems. They don't care.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, there's a reason why they don't. Because we've been taught to be the great stewards of our own demise instead of being who we were really created to be and what our capabilities are outside of being evil. Because we're capable of great evil. Evil is a choice. It is a choice like all others.
But it's also a drug.
Yeah. It changes your psyche.
Yes.
It changes your psyche.
And your drive and your outlook and your motivation.
Sure does. Sure does. Keith, let me get to these other articles and we get you going. Next article, from this is from Press TV. Israel is Pakistan's number one enemy, Pakistani minister said.
Now, let me tell you what I think on that. Is, of course they are. But by the same token, I just read an article where it talks about 40 different Jewish organizations were speaking against the Jewish state because of the atrocities against the Palestinian people.
And you never hear about that. You never hear about the individuals that speak out against their own government.
Venezuela, the subject of Venezuela is an example of that.
Yep.
We know, all you're hearing about is how this Maduro is corrupt, the people don't want him, and the atrocities he's performing. But you're not hearing about the majority of Venezuelans that are actually supporting him. And every news
outlet
is pushing that point of view.
Because that's the propaganda that the mainstream media here is under pretense to uphold.
Right.
It's because they have to speak the script, and the script is that America is the land of the free and the brave. It's the, you know, this, all this other stuff, and it's the most, one of the most, it is a great lie. And it's, the lies are deep throughout all of, and it's the lies are deep through all of the countries, through all of them, because they are there. They only exist because the people believe.
Government, now, with that being said, I got to put a caveat to that too, though. And now I'm going to take it back to the word. I heard something real interesting. And I'm going to put this on God, and it deals with what you're saying, but it doesn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, God not only knows everything that you do, but he knows the reason that you did it. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason that you did it is actually more important than what it is that you're doing. So what you said, right, does the means, does the end, you know, but I think the motivation is actually more important.
Does the end meet the means?
Does the means justify the end?
Yeah, does the end, yeah.
Alright, and I think the motivation behind action is actually more important than the action.
Yeah.
But why I say that in light of what you're saying is, of course, you're right, because all countries are going to do things that benefit them first.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the same token, I get into these conversations oftentimes on all different subjects, especially like with food. People will say, United States, the food is terrible here. It don't make no difference because it's all messed up. That's bullcrap. There's a huge difference between somebody that watches what they eat and somebody that doesn't. You know, so even with what you're saying, I think that we have to, even though those statements are true in some phases, we can't paint everything with a complete broad brush.
Nope.
Because there are different levels
there are of variables.
Evilness,
yeah.
And it makes a difference which one you choose.
Yeah. It's Keith, and I love that, you know, the great creator knows what you did and why you did it. So I love that one. I'm going to use that one again, Chief, because you and that's the first time I ever heard that, you know, put that way. You know, because we always think about one side of it, but the totality of it. And when you say that, that basically says, and it puts it back on you, because you know why you did it. You know why you did it. That's what's really the thing, because that's the deciding factor.
Yeah, and it works on both sides.
It works on both sides.
One of the other things that it talks about the Bible, it says, you know what? They gave the people good things to deceive them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All the time. And still do it.
Which is the M.O.
Yeah,
of Satan himself.
Yeah. It's so true. So we got to definitely. So check out this. Next article. This one comes from RT International. Video captures test of Russian military device. Dreaded in the UK media for its, hallucinating effects. So it's basically acoustic weapons. That that's what, this next battleground is going to be. Woof, ugly. Basically acoustic weapons being used. And what they're going to be able to produce with those acoustic weapons. So Russia is showing off some of its acoustic capabilities. The U.S. shows off their acoustic capabilities all the time. You know where you see them, Keith? Go to your next so-called civil disturbance, from Ferguson to Baltimore to anywhere in the country now. And you'll see acoustic weapons that will show up in all of the major population areas.
You mean the military dressed up as police officers?
Well, the acoustic weapons that are on the militarized.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. I heard you. So I'm gonna say yes, Keith. Absolutely. that's exactly right, because you're under martial law, and you always have been. And so check out that article. Next article from the New York Post. New York City is edging towards financial disaster, and the expert warns. Check out that. Next article.
Wait. And I hear that's a major issue. Now, what's so interesting about that, though, here's what I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because they are doing what the United States is trying to do on a large scale. And I'm sorry you went.
No, you're right.
We're going to
cover
this
on Financial Friday. But
Because what they did was, a lot of these people are moving en masse because of the high taxes.
Yeah.
And what New York is doing is just putting the IRS on the ones and sucking them dry before they get out there.
Before they leave.
Which is what the United States is in the process of doing, the same thing with people that are
Outside outside the country.
That are denouncing their citizens.
Yep.
They are now starting to come out and say, well, that's right. That's fine, you can do that. But you're going to pay taxes for this period of time after you denounce your citizenship.
Yep,
Yep. So there we go. Next article from Criminal News Broadcast Channel, CNBC. Criminals, nothing but criminals. That's what I meant. Criminals, nothing but criminals. U.S. households see the biggest decline in net worth since the financial crisis. Check out that. Next one from Bookings. From Bookings. Why America can't escape its role in the conflict between India and Pakistan. Great article. Next article from New York Times. As Trump and Kim meet, North Korea hackers hit over 100 targets in the U.S. and allied nations. So check out that. This all goes along with...
Read it again.
Yes, sir. The New York Times. As Trump and Kim meet, North Korea hackers hit over 100 targets in the U.S. and allied nations. Huge, huge, huge. So that's what's in the news, but we're going to jump into today's show. That we're going to come back to that one.
Hold it. I got a question before we jump into
Hold this. Up. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Keith.
I got an opinion question.
Mm-hmm.
So we started talking about, you mentioned the cyber warfare that's being started.
That's going to be, yes, we're going to cover.
My question is, if they did a Poseidon attack,
mm-hmm.
and or nationwide EMP,
mm-hmm.
what would the capabilities of the United States would be to carry out a war anyway?
Yeah. Well, I think from my standpoint, I don't know. Right? I don't know because of a lot of different reasons. But I will say this. Why would you do an EMP attack on one country or not? Because basically what you're doing, okay, see, the structure always attacks the people, not the infrastructure, and not the overall establishment. Venezuela's lights are out, and who is it affecting?
The people.
Right. And I don't know how many scores of people got. In the 5 days that the power's been out, there are plenty of people that were killed directly because of that. Plenty of people.
What do you mean directly?
Directly. Once those lights went out and they didn't come back on within 12 hours, you're going to start to have people actually that caused their death.
Sure, sure, sure. You're talking about people that are relying on machines, all those sort of respiratory machines, etc.
And then it perpetuates itself more and more and more and more in everything else.
Absolutely. So which goes back to my question. And my question is, in light of what you're saying, right? Because there is a whole research of weaponry being developed that will wipe out the people without damaging any of the
infrastructure. Yeah, of course. The EMP is the perfect one.
So with that being said, mm-hmm. again, an EMP would be more catastrophic to the United States as a country
sure.
than any other country affected by EMP.
Sure. Because the U.S.
I heard that.
Yeah, because the U.S. is so reliant on a just-in-time delivery system, just-in-time delivery system of gas. Believe me, you don't have 5 days of fuel to run your generator. Most people don't have that.
Well, and even more important than that, and this is something that we never hear about, but if you cut off the electricity, you can't go to your spigot and turn on the water.
Yeah, right. Some of the things, you got to have a well, a manual pump well. There's a lot of different variables. So this is why the death toll, and you asked the question about how would the U.S. wages war, and I would say that that is kind of like when the U.S. dropped the two nuclear devices in Japan, they attacked the people. You're seeing the real target of war. It's not the state. It's the people.
But my question goes back to...
And I got your question. And I would say that how would they respond to it?
Could we respond to it?
And here's what I would say to that, Keith. The problems of that are so great that the everyday person won't even be worried about the U.S.'s response to it. They'll be worried about their response to it. Yeah. Yeah. It will mean nothing.
Which is my point.
It will just prolong the overall attack.
And see, what I'm saying is, you say it prolongs it. I would think that it would make, well, no, you're right. I'm just saying,
what you say,
do we have a capability?
What did you
you're
say,
right. Yeah, yeah. Do we have the capability
to
carry out a war?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. I would say, in my opinion, is that it's going to be a war that the system needs the U.S. Well, they want the U.S. to lose, so the U.S. is going to lose it because of that. You remember when they like to have celebritized celebrations.
What kind?
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The witch is dead. The witch is dead. What they like to do is they like to have different people around the world saying that we just defeated the greatest evil of now. Now everything is going to be all right.
Sure.
Not hardly. Yeah, they're going to let you party. They're going to let you, as Biggie said, they're going to let you party and party and BS, right? They let you do that because they know that feels good to you. And then after that is done, you'll be ready to listen. And that's part of the acoustic weaponry that actually gets affected, that actually affects us. Those subliminal messages. You know, music is, acoustics is very, 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 very relevant to the living frequency. So, so the response to it, once the EMP does happen here, and however it happens, once the lights go out here, It's going to be such a perilously trying times for the everyday person.
Well, let's look at the projection of what we said would happen. And I believe that we said that what kind of percentage of people would be wiped out and what kind of time frames. So we said 8 months?
Oh, no, 8 months. No, nobody's around. Eight months, no.
Okay, so here's the question. Let's say 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But
reports right now that there's millions of people that were killed in Venezuela because of the 5 day. Millions.
Because of what?
Because of the 5 day blackout.
Okay, so with that being said, they say that it would take 18 months for the United States to bring in transformers.
Right. Right.
So, who would be even working to bring in transformers and who would put them in 18 months?
Yeah. Yeah, Keith, it's really bad. Now, I don't know the death toll in Venezuela from the blackout, but Let's just jump into this. So let's just get this article here from Sputnik News. It says Caracas. One second. Oh, I pulled it up. It didn't come up.
No, I was just reading an article where there's a video with the Caracas mayor saying that power's being slowly restored. And my thing is, man, we have to be wary of all news reports. They just got busted lying about who set that truck on fire, their aid truck on fire. They was lying about that. Then you had Rubio saying, I mean, he used this one from the Gulf War. Remember when they said Saddam soldiers was pulling babies out of incubators and stomping them out on the ground, and that turned out to be a lie? Rubio then said something similar, saying that babies were dying in the hospital in Venezuela. So this one outlet went to the hospital. No babies had died. So just want to keep put that in the minds of the listeners is that, you know, all we can do is report on the news and give you our opinion. All we can do is tell you what's being reported and then give you our opinions. You know, but also keep in mind that, hell, all of U.S.-based media, in my opinion, lies.
Yep, I'm with you. And that's exactly what we do. We bring you the articles and just give an opinion off of that. Check out this. This is from Sputnik News. Sputnik News. Maduro says one Venezuelan energy facility suffered cyber attack on Saturday. And then there's other reports where you can see some of the transformers that actually, the main transformers that were from the energy facilities blowing up and on fire and everything else. So here it is. Congratulations. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has said that a cyber attack was carried out against one of the country's energy facilities on Saturday, not permitting the authorities to restore electricity that has been interrupted earlier in the week. Today, we have restored power supply to about 70% of the country's territory. But by noon, another cyber attack was committed against one of the facilities, which until then had been working perfectly. For this reason, all the progress that had been achieved by mid-afternoon was interrupted, Maduro said in Caracas on Saturday. The celebrity figurehead President Maduro has accused the opposition of attacking the Venezuelan power supply with high-tech weapons. They use high-tech weapons. Extremists from the opposition are the authors of the perpetrators of these attacks against the country. They use high technology that only the U.S. government has in the world. These attacks were carried out with the use of high scientific achievements that were electromagnetic attacks against the nation's electrical line, Maduro said. A blackout swept across Venezuela on Thursday as a national electrical supplier reported of a sabotage at the major hydraulic power plant. Subsequently, reports that the power outages in 21 out of the 23 states in Venezuela. Maduro has blamed the United States for waging an electrical energy war against Venezuela. However, Washington has declined having a role in the crisis. And this thing is now. So now, we got, today is Monday, started on Thursday, Wednesday evening, and it's still going on today. Now, this is the thing. When power is out for a period of time, depending on the weather, depending on many variables, you not having power is detrimental to people. You know that some people were adversely affected by this. 5 days without power. But here's the thing. What's significant of this is that they're showing you what the preferred method of waging war is. It's by cyber, and this is what we've been warning. Now, what's happening here is that now, because of this, guess what this opens up for? It opens the U.S. to be hit by cyber attack as well, and it is going to happen. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. In the last 30 minutes of this show, give us a call. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the number. 704-802-5056 is the number. So we're talking about the cyber attack in Venezuela, which is really an act of war. And it's going to come out, and it's going to definitely get much bigger. Now, I forgot to post this one. There was an article where Russia says that they will, they have to. I mean, well, let me pull it up real quickly because this all ties in together. One second. Let me just find it real quickly. Let me see if I may have already posted it there. I just didn't. Let me see if I needed to. Okay, one sec. Sorry about this. So basically, Russia is saying that they are going to defend Venezuela because they have to. But I want to get this actual article so that you can see. Here it is. Okay. And this one was from RT. And it says, and this was on the 10th, yesterday. I mean, I meant to put this inside of today's show, and I'm going to put it there. One of the articles is Russia to defend its Venezuelan oil assets in toughest ways possible. This is from yesterday. Nicolas Maduro, staunchest international ally, Russia, reaffirmed last week its full support to the socialist leader's regime in the efforts to prevent what Moscow sees as an interference in Venezuelan domestic affairs. At the same time, Russia, which vowed to defend its oil assets in Venezuela as a result of the political crisis began in January, sees risk to its investment in the Latin American country and pledges to react, quote, in the toughest ways possible within international laws if those investments are threatened. Russia ambassadors to Venezuela told Russian government runs newspaper in an interview published this week. Russia is the staunchest supporter and the ally of Maduro's regime and political struggle in the Latin American country, sitting on top of the world's largest oil reserve. While the U.S. And many European nations have recognized Venezuelan's opposition, celebrity figurehead self-proclaimed Juan Guaido as a legitimate interim president, Russia has stood by Maduro for years and has poured billions of U.S. dollars into Venezuela in the forms of loans and oil investments. Russia's state-controlled oil giant Rosneft has extended $6 billion U.S. dollars of loans to Venezuela to its state oil firm, PDVSA. As of December the 31st, Venezuela owes Rosneft around $2.3 billion U.S. dollars. Okay, so now, let me just, why is this so important? Russia has no choice. Russia and China, guess where else, Keith? India have no choice but to defend Venezuela.
Well, I think what's interesting is, I don't know how much you emphasize the fact that it's not even only not having a choice of defending them, but those are their assets.
Yeah.
So it's not even that they're defending Venezuela, per se.
They're defending the assets that they have in contract.
That they own.
Yeah, that they have, right, that they have in contract with Venezuela. So they're not going to let someone else come in and steal it. And who's the country that's coming in and destabilize it to steal it? Remember what you know, Chavez had really sealed it for himself personally when he actually nationalized all of the oil in Venezuela for Venezuela. That's when the overall collapse happened, because those that were affected by it said, uh-oh, we got a problem. Here's why this is so important. Because the cyber attacks are now the preferred method of attack. So while the U.S. and others or whoever is engaging in the cyber attack against Venezuela, which you can basically say and is going to be used, that is going to be the U.S., there's going to be a response to it, and that response is going to be what? See, the United States can't be sanctioned by nations in the profound way that the U.S. can. So So how they're doing it is they're breaking relationships and ties with the U.S. and doing bilateral trade deals without using the U.S. dollar. That's a form of sanction. But now when it comes to this point where you start to destroy infrastructure and have blackouts, and now when you have those blackouts, what is really happening during those blackouts? You're having military movement under the cover of what? Darkness. And you think China and Russia is not aware of that? You think Iran isn't aware of that? And in the same time now, the overall oil is starting to be, Israel is now going to try to stop the overall oil exploration, the exploration of oil from Iran. Where is the oil from Iran going? To India. Now they're going to shut off, the U.S. is telling India to stop buying Venezuelan oil because they're going to, what is the U.S. going to try to do? Embargo and have a naval blockade of Venezuela. Do you really think that Russia and China is going to let that happen? They can't let it happen. So what are they going to do? Well, the last article, well, the second to last article that we had was this one from New York Times. And the article is, as Trump and Kim meet, North Korea hackers hit over 100 targets in the U.S. and allied nation.
What allied nation?
Probably Israel. But we got Brother Davis in queue. Before I go to that, I want to give Brother Davis a chance to chime in. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
It's always good, brother. The show is excellent, man. I think we also got to consider the leverage that this would give Russia in the what they call the Avenue of the Americas. In North and South America, all of these countries now would build an alliance with the new King of the Hill. This war will not stay in Venezuela, y'all. Believe that. They got enough connections now with coming to Venezuela's aid to launch a war in the United States from veritable places. And that's not only counting the oceans. We talked about land places where they could resupply, which is what keeps a war going forward. I also want to bring to your attention last night on 60 Minutes, the chairman of the Federal Reserve was on there. That was an excellent song and dance. And anybody who's seen it should have walked away with that and said he really didn't say nothing. All he said was we're going to try to keep the cap on the cap because the cap is broke. Well, nothing's growing. Companies are going out of business. Right now, General Motors, who is one of the largest employers in the country, are laying off 45,000 people. So how you keeping the cap on the cap? This is crazy, y'all. Anything can happen at any given time. So don't be surprised what comes next. I just wanted to add that.
Well said, as always, Brother Davis. Yes, this whole thing is not going to be confined just to Venezuela. And as Brother Davis was saying, that China and Russia are making inroads to Central, South, and North America. So huge, huge, and it's so true. And I didn't see Powell on, but I love our Brother Davis. We're going to put a cap on the cap, or when the cap is broke. So, yeah, not saying anything. But see, that tells you everything, that, uh-oh, they're working on something that is going to be affecting the people, the everyday person, really, really soon. Really, really soon. It is very true. So this article says, as Trump and Kim meet, North Korea hackers hit over 100 targets in the U.S. and allied nations. San Francisco, North Korean hackers have targeted American and European businesses for 18 months, kept up their attacks last week, even as Trump was meeting with North Korea's leader in Hanoi. The attacks, which includes efforts to hack into banking, which include efforts to hack into banking, utilities, and oil and gas companies began in 2017, according to the researchers at the cybersecurity company McAfee. A time when tensions between North Korea and the United States were flaring, but even though both sides have toned down their fiery threats and begun nuclear disarmament talks, the attacks persist. In 2017, Trump mocked Kim as the Rocket Man in a speech at the UN while North Korea tested missiles capable of delivering a nuclear warhead to the United States. The attacks began soon after that. Though the two sides had failed to reach an agreement last week, Mr. Trump stuck, move down, to a conciliatory tone towards his North Korea counterpart. The revelation of North Korea's most recent attacks activities add new details to the tensions surrounding the summit meeting last summer, which ended abruptly without any deal. After their first meeting about 8 months earlier, North Korea had agreed to stop test firing its missiles, which they're starting to pick back up now. But the cyber attacks is the one that we really need to talk about. Here we go. For 15 months, they haven't tested weapons because of the negotiations. But they've started that back. At the same time, the Korea chairman for the Center of Strategic and International Studies in Washington said, but their cyber attacks and activities haven't stopped. With the help of an unarmed foreign law enforcement agency, the McAfee Research gained access to one of the main computers servers used by North Korean hackers to stage their attacks. The McAfee researchers said that they watched in real time as North Koreans attacked the computer networks of more than 100 companies in the United States and around the world globally. Last month, they expanded their targets to companies in Turkey operating from a block of internet addresses traced to Mumbai, one of the few countries that still remain friendly relationships with North Korea. They are very, very, very active. It's been nonstop, says the McAfee chief scientist. They've been hit with an excess of 100 victims. The exact motivation of the attacks are not clear. They were well-researched and highly focused aimed at engineering and executives who had broad access to their company's computer networks and intellectual properties. McAfee, which is based in Santa Clara, California, named the targets of their attacks and said it would make its findings public Sunday, but the firm did not provide a map of North Korean targets. The vast majority were in the United States, with the most frequent marks in Houston, oil and gas hub, New York, a financial hub, and other major targets include London, Madrid, Tokyo, Tel Aviv, Rome, Bangkok, Seoul, and Hong Kong. Russia and mainland China, two other countries that had main cordial relationships with North Korea, were what? Relatively untouched. Let me stop there. Let me just go on to this real quick. North Korea, like the United States, has many countries and have had long been accused of using hacking to further its national interests. There it is. I wanted to read that part. Now, you can see what's happening. What's the infrastructure that's being hit? Houston, the oil and gas hub. New York, the financial hub. Other major targets include London. But here, let's go to the U.S. They're attacking the overall infrastructure grid. They're going to attack the financial. And those that watch, you're going to start to see banks start to have even more problems. Wells Fargo had a lot of problems. It's going to spread around to all of them. But the grid is where they've already embedded themselves at the appropriate time. So what's happening in Venezuela is definitely going to happen here. Imagine if it's 5 days without power here in the United States. And I'm going to say this, Chief. One of the things about that is that here's the good and the bad of that. Venezuela is in a bad place because they've been struggling for a very long time in this overall crisis. So they're extremely fragile. But here in the United States, but see, the people in Venezuela are kind of used to struggling already. So what did they do, Keith? During that time, those that have survived this have developed new skill sets. They've developed new skill sets for dealing with perilous economic times or being in the lack, right? So new skill sets and everything else have come up. When the U.S. gets hit with its cyber attack and the lights go out, it's going to go from feast to famine. Now, how long would the lights be off in the U.S.? Could the lights be off for more than 5 days? And I ask you something. The U.S. has been, everyone in the U.S. has been thoroughly trained from the L.A. riots, go back to the Watts riots, the Detroit riots, the Newark riots, the riots in San Francisco, in Oakland, the riots in Los Angeles, both times, Watts and in LA, Baltimore, just the natural disasters that happened. When the lights go out here in the U.S., you have fires that start everywhere. Because there's a torch mentality that everyone has been schooled. And if you have, Keith, think about this. If you have a grid go down, and then that grid has to take down the other grids attached to it, right? So the infrastructure isn't completely damaged. Everyone here in the United States, you're going to go from feast to famine because everyone here has been taught to do what? Go loot and go burn. This is going to be a totally different dynamic. And the overall, the ones that would be, let's say just from the standpoint of defending themselves. Now, when the U.S. has initiated the overall cyber attack, that means that they open themselves up for it. So that when there is a response by a cyber attack, do you think that they're only going to turn the power off in the U.S. for 10 minutes or a day? Knowing the overall momentum and the destabilization that that would bring everyone here, just think about everybody in the military. Where's their families? In the States. See, the U.S. military is used to bringing harm to families.
Just not. Someplace else.
Right. They're not used to getting the calls from home. Or knowing that home is ablaze. It's a completely different dynamic. And I don't blame the individuals that it's set up. It's a complete setup. And when feast the famine here in the United States, the response that people will have will bring a perpetual, will bring a onslaught of problems that will have a domino effect that they may not come back on. Now, I know from my experience during the LA riots that after a while it stopped. But this dynamic is different because this one is going to be all over the country. And you won't know when it's coming back on. So what? You can only have so much of the National Guard deployed to the U.S. Everybody's going to be in need. Not everybody watching the riots on TV. You're going to be watching the riots outside your window, outside your car door, outside your glasses. It's going to be much different.
I don't want to sound like a total pessimist, but I don't think the power is going to come back on. There's nothing to bring the power back on. Again, when you start looking at the masses of people,
and where do they get those parts from?
That's my point. They say that we don't build none of that stuff no more. And it takes them 18 months to get them. And yeah. That's now.
You're in a trade war with China right now where tariffs are taking effect. So guess what they're going to say?
Oh, well, yeah, you will give them to you.
No, you're right, 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 right. We'll give them to you. Here's the new terms of the deal. It's all being set up. And what we have to do is, man, the lights are going to go out without remorse.
Of course not, because remorse on who?
Yeah.
We're the ones that started.
Yeah. And there are enough conspirators and enough enemies now for them to align and say, you know what, we had enough. And that's what they're going to definitely say. So listen, everyone, we got to get ready to get out of here. Please be prepared. You need non-perishable items. Have a plan for where you are. If you're in a part of the country that weather is a real, real concern without electricity, plan for that now. Put yourself and your family in a position that you won't be scared, that you will be prepared. So much love, much respect. And never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.